always be clear where you get your conservative talk.
The St. Louis Business Journal is now reporting that liberal billionaire George Soros is the largest shareholder of Odyssey,
the parent company of KMOX and 97.1 Talk.
Soros' maneuver raises critical questions about the future of media ownership and influence.
Money and attention is power. And when he has the money and he controls what's on the radio stations, he's going to be able to control the minds, essentially hundreds of millions of Americans.
St. Louis's trusted source and number one.
For conservative talk.
This is News Talk STL.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Friday's edition of the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show here at 101.9/94.1. This is News Talk STL. I'm Tim Jones, back in studio with my co-host, Chris Arps. How you doing, Chris
Good
Arps?
Good to see you, Tim Jones. Been out a couple of days up in Indianapolis, a city that is actually growing, that is actually having a renaissance, unlike here in St. Louis, as our illustrious mayor said. But great city. Great to have you back here on a wonderful Friday afternoon with the great Joey V.
How you doing, producer Joey V?
Oh, I'm so excited about this air show this weekend in Chesterfield. Oh, man, my ears are just going to be popping all day tomorrow.
Oh, so the air show is this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, very good. Well, very good.
I tell you, Tim, one of my bucket list items, a couple of local radio personalities have gone up with the Blue Angels. That's my bucket list. Okay. Now, somebody, whoever's listening, if you can arrange that
Bob Onder
next year, somebody, please, I would love to ride shotgun on one of those Blue Angel planes. I'm sure I'd bring plenty of barf bags.
Yes.
That will not scream too loudly to the pilot, so I can do it.
I'm sure there is a way to make that happen. We've got a jam-packed show for all y'all this afternoon. If you're watching on any of our streaming platforms, Rumble, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, ScrewTube, otherwise known as YouTube, and other places, you probably will see Jim Gwinner sitting in studio with us. We're going to talk to him about his recent trip to one of the most troubled parts of the world right now, that's in the news every single day. No, not Ukraine. He went to Israel, and we'll talk to him about that experience at 4:25 and some other subjects as well. Chris, we'll have Chris's Corner as we head into the weekend here at 4:45.
Yeah, I think Chris's Corner at 4:45 is just going to be a political update on President Trump, the presidential campaign, maybe hone in a couple of the Senate races and polling in those races. Catch everyone up. It's been such a busy news week this week that, you know, it's kind of been like drinking out of a fire hose, and, you know, trying to cover everything in 2 hours sometimes has its challenges.
It sure does indeed. At 5:07, Speaker Stump Speech today. I was on a very interesting conference call on my travels back from Indianapolis, and I was on several of them, and one of them was with the Republican National Lawyers Association, and they talked about all the reversible error that is present in the Trump New York City hush money trial case. Not that that would necessarily matter to a New York appeals court, but it might matter to a higher court. And so the webinar was presented by two lawyers, one of them Zach Smith, who's with us every Wednesday from the Heritage Foundation. So it was a very legalistic call, and so I won't get too deep in the weeds, but after I left that call, I was left with just basically the feeling of, how in the world did this case ever get brought to trial in the first place? It was an epic disaster. And then we'll look at some of the, I thought I'd give people an update on all the other lawfare cases that were launched at Donald Trump, most of which, if not all of them, are not going to make it to trial before November. So some updates on that as well. At 5:25, talking about one of the issues that's in the headlines pretty much every single day here in this election year silly season, 5:25, we're going to talk to Samuel Green. He's the president and general counsel at a national organization called Reason for Life. The reason we decided to have him on was, believe it or not, this month marks the second anniversary of the Dobbs decision. Can you believe it's been 2 years already?
It has been 2 years already, and it's been amazing that a lot of pro-life folks have been fighting this for 50 years, and we achieved the victory of overturning Roe v. Wade, and it seems that the issue has just gotten even more contentious. It has gone back to the states now for them to decide if abortion is legal. Some want that, some don't. You know, now you have the issue of IVF. You have the issue of other things related to that. The Mifepristone, I can't believe I said that correctly the first time. You have that issue involved with it. So it Roe v. Wade was overturned, but it has sprouted a bunch of other issues that are associated with it that is causing just as much controversy.
And we'll ask him, what do you do when dog catches car? So that's kind of the subject of our conversation with him 2 years since Roe v. Wade was overturned by Dobbs v. Jackson. 2 weeks from next Tuesday. So 2 weeks from next Tuesday is the week of our events here that we're having at News Talk STL. We have two huge events the last week of June. June the 25th. Yeah, I can see the calendar from here. June the 25th, we will be hosting an event with the aforementioned Zach Smith and his colleague Joel Griffith. It is called Saving America 2024, The Economy and the Courts. Tickets are free, but you have to reserve a seat because we have limited seating at the Funny Bone in St. Charles. We would love to completely pack that venue. It's a fantastic venue. It's at the streets of St. Charles, which is the host of many famous restaurants, including some who are advertisers of this station, specifically Napoli 3, Napoli C, which Larry Connors, USA, often speaks about on his program from 6 to 8 every evening. So join us on June 25th, St. Charles Funny Bone, Streets of St. Charles, sponsored by West News Magazine, Mid Rivers News Magazine, and the St. Louis Young Republicans. Thank you to all of them for helping us get the word out. 2 days later, Chris, we'll be heading to the opposite end of the region. We'll be heading down to Jeff County, the southern lands, and we're going to be heading to Johnny's Hideout, where we're going to have a debate watch party.
Yes.
You and I will be broadcasting live from the Sunset Patio from 4 to 6 p.m., and then beginning around 7:30 p.m. inside, you and I and everybody else who shows up from the station that night, which will be most of us, we'll do a little pregame, and then at 8 o'clock, we'll have all the televisions in Johnny's on the first Trump v. Biden debate of 2024.
You know what you should do, Tim? Of course, whenever you have debate parties and things like this, you have a drinking game, kind of a bingo-like game. We have very smart listeners out there, of course. I would love for one of our listeners to put together a great bingo game for the debate party. Maybe the best one gets a t-shirt or something. Who knows? Maybe Jim Gwinner might have some ideas on a great drinking game, bingo night, debate watch party apparatus thing. So if anyone wants to put that together, I would love to see that. And maybe I can cajole Jeff and Joel to give a t-shirt for the best bingo game card.
I think we can make that happen.
That right?
I think we can make that happen. In fact, Chris, if folks want to, we have a very active, we have very active listeners, especially on our Facebook page, in the afternoons. So if any of our regulars or anybody who's new to the show today wants to chime in, Joey will keep an eye on that. Anybody got any bingo slots for a bingo game for the debate watch party? That is also sponsored by the St. Louis Young Republicans and the Freedom Principle of Missouri. We want to pack Johnny's Hideout. If you need any details on the two huge events we're having here at the station the last week of June, just go to newstalkstl.com. Everything is on there. The Saving America 2024 event and the debate watch party all that week. Chris, I had a quick question for you. You may have talked about this yesterday. I just saw this today. Did you know, Chris, that you are living in a slave state? Did you know that? Did you see that?
Did you see
that headline?
I did not see that. I don't see how I can't believe I missed that.
I didn't either. Joy Reid, Chris.
Joy Reid
has dubbed Missouri a slave state for protecting unborn life. Protecting the lives of unborn children apparently amounts to the enslavement of women, according to MSNBC's Joy Reid during an interview Wednesday with former Senator Claire McCaskill. Reid railed against the show me state, our state, claiming that women are slaves to their husbands and the government in the state due to our horrific pro-life laws. So that's liberal logic for you right there.
I mean, if you have that type of mentality, it seems to me that you would believe that the man has tied down the woman and basically raped her, impregnated her, is making her carrying the child. The woman had no decision whatsoever when it came to her being impregnated. And for the state to have an interest in protecting life, believing that that noob, that that baby is a person, having believing that that is slave, that is enslaving the woman. These people's twisted reasoning, it just amazes me. And once again, Tim, it just shows the another example of abortion are these people's holy grail that they will fall on the sword for, and their devotion to it is just, you know, I hate to put it in the spiritual religious terms, but it's demonic to be that focused, that dedicated to killing, snuffing out babies in the womb.
It also points out a little maxim that you always mention. Liberalism is a mental disorder. I mean, to think that the state's interest in protecting life is somehow akin to enslaving women, I just don't follow the logic in that. And you're right. We talked about this at the little Alec Academy. This came up in one of our conversations, one of our side conversations, about the fact that, you know, if we ever, if those of us on the center right side, the sane part of the world, if we ever figure out how to take away that issue from the left completely, what else are they going to talk about, right? Because the rest of their policies, regarding taxation, regulation, education, the economy, energy, are all failures, as Joe Biden has shown us in all of his terrible glory over the last 3 years.
You know, we've talked about this many times. Look, we've had a victory in the Roe v. Wade Dobbs decision that's been overturned. But we see that because of that, people that are pro-abortion are going to fight even more for it. It's at a point now where you cannot legislate people into believing that abortion is evil, abortion is wrong. It's to the point where it's going to be a portion of legislating, changing the laws, and you've got to change people's hearts and minds because the left has for so long just described the fetus as a bunch of cells, something that's living in your body like it's some type of cancer or something that can be surgically removed, not addressing that it's a baby. And so to change that mindset of millions of young girls, that that's what they've been taught, takes a while, but we've got to work along with the legislative aspect of it. We've got to work on the hearts and minds.
Yes. This is what happens after 40 years of higher education seeping down into K through 12 education of the woke-itocracy, right? This is, this is the end result of us, basically us as conservatives, as center-right sane people, ignoring what's been going on in our education system, because all of these people who are now in their 20s and 30s, they've been brainwashed by this, and our culture, to your point, has gotten crushed. And so the politics that's downstream from that has basically suffered in the meantime.
And it's not necessarily, and Jim can remember this, in the mid-2000s or so, there was a movement of pro-life people that put abortions in your face. I mean, they were posting pictures. They were at protest rallies with portions of babies, of fetuses. I remember seeing them everywhere. And that was very controversial because a lot of people, even that were pro-life, thought that was a bit too much to actually show the bodies. But sometimes you need to shock people to say, this is what abortion is. We hear the liberals, you know, antiseptically clean it up and act like it's just a medical procedure. But this is what it is. I don't know if that's the right way to do it. I don't know. But we've got to change the hearts and minds, as I've said many times.
Chris, another thing I wanted to remind our audience of, because I used it myself. I actually practiced what we often preach. While in Indianapolis this morning, I decided to see what was going on back here at the station. So while I was getting ready, I made my telephone a radio.
There you go.
And I just fired up our app this morning, News Talk STL. You can find the app on the iPhone store and at the Android store. You download that. I was able to listen to us in crystal clear digital quality. And I happened to tune into the morning show right as you were speaking.
Yeah, I forgot I was on it.
About something that the Spectator world must have been listening to, because they wrote a headline about one of the subjects that you were talking about this morning on Mike Ferguson's show. You were talking about Joe Biden's weak display at the D-Day ceremony. And the headline from Spectator World is, Joe Biden's D-Day performance is evidence of his mental unfitness. He forgot where to sit. He talked about the loss of Russian troops, and he sat in an invisible chair.
And it was quite a contrast, because if you watch Reagan give that speech 40 years ago, he had vigor, he had resolve, he was a leader. People knew that he was the president of the United States. You contrast that 40 years later and you see Joe Biden, a feeble old man. And it's interesting because this was chosen on purpose by the White House, by the campaign, to give a contrast to Ronald Reagan's speech, to say it's a similar speech about democracy and saving us from tyrants. And it fell flat, and actually it was kind of an insult to the Gipper's speech, because it was supposed to be comparative, and I wasn't nowhere near that.
Mm-hmm. Well, that headline there reminded me of what you were talking about this morning.
And one more thing, Tim. Speaking of senior moments, before the show started, I was in the restroom washing my hands. And, you know, we're so used to these faucets that you just put your hand underneath it, and the water goes. Mm-hmm. So I put soap on my hands. I rubbed it, all that. And I'm sitting there for like 30 seconds. I'm like, what's wrong with this thing? So I go to another sink. It's still not working. I'm like, oh, it actually has handles. I turned on the water. I control it.
We're old school here. We're old school here.
That's fantastic. I control the water.
Joey, you're going to have to drive Chris home today.
Yeah, let's
celebrate our 6-month anniversary in this building by figuring out the sinks.
Almost like, is he washing his hands? I guess maybe I forgot. Sorry about that. Maybe that was a two TMI moment.
No, I'll give you some credit. The soap dispenser down the hall is automatic. The soap dispenser right here is not automatic.
There you go.
Okay, maybe that's what it is.
Building's playing pranks on him again.
Now.
Yes, they sure indeed.
Well, I was embarrassed. I'm glad there wasn't anyone in the restroom with me to witness that.
That's producer Joey V. That's Chris Arps. I'm Tim Jones. We have Jim Gwinner sitting here in studio ready to roll for our next segment. And if you're watching, Jim, as we said, on any of our streaming platforms, you'll see that while in Israel, Jim must have been wrestling with the sharks in the Red Sea. How you doing there, Jim? You can say hello.
Really good.
Now.
I'm doing really good.
Yeah. Your hand's okay, actually. This was intentional.
It was a minor surgical procedure yesterday. I wasn't swatting down Hamas rockets.
All right. Well, maybe you should have been. We're gonna talk to Jim about what I'm sure was a life-changing experience for him, an incredible opportunity for him to visit Israel, and what it was like to be over there right in the middle of this horrific conflict. All of that and more we will dissect and bisect for you. Stand by. This is going to be a fascinating segment. We're going to be joined by Jim Gwinner, who's a partner at LS2 Group, a government affairs firm in our region. He recently completed a trip to Israel with the American Israel Education Foundation. And he brought back a tattoo to boot. So there we go. All of that when we return on Friday's edition of the Tim Jones and Chris Harb Show, 101.9/94.1 News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
And this is causing some political tension to rise in D.C. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu will address Congress on July 24th. Netanyahu's relationship with President Biden is strained as Biden faces divisions in his party and with the public over his stance on the Middle East. As Biden tries to support Israeli efforts against Hamas, but increasingly insist on more movement towards a ceasefire and more Israeli protection of civilian life in Gaza.
4:29 on the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show. And if you've been watching from the beginning of the show, you know that our good friend Jim Gwinner, a partner at LS2 Group, is in studio with us. He's going to talk to us about his recent trip to Israel. Very brave, my friend. Mm-hmm. And we may also dive into some political matters as well. To show you how far I go back with Jim Gwinner, Jim Gwinner was the campaign manager for a Republican, Tim, who was running against Dip Gephardt.
Whoa!
So that's how far me and Jim Gwinner goes. Jim?
No, it was Russ Carnahan.
Russ Carnahan. I'm sorry. Boy, I really was aging you. Russ Carnahan. That's still a while ago, though. But
it's been a few days.
Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks, Tim. It's great to be here.
Excellent. All right. You recently went to Israel. Most of us and around the world have the impression that Israel is very dangerous, that Hamas and other militant groups are shooting rockets constantly into Israel. It's a dangerous situation. We hear that Palestinians are starving to death. They're trying to give the impression that it's Ethiopia, 1980s, we are the world again. What's the truth, Jim, in Israel?
Sure. So I was lucky enough in September. I went down to New Orleans for a weekend with the APAC, American Israel Public Affairs Committee. Sure. Their foundation, the American Israel Education Foundation, invited me to go on a December trip right before I went down there to New Orleans. That obviously, October 7th, changed the landscape of Israel for the future, for the foreseeable future. To your question, what's it like there? You know, it was very secure when I was there. I wouldn't say peaceful. It was very secure. Sure. We were a few days in Jerusalem, a few days in Tel Aviv. We went down near Gaza. We went up towards the Lebanese border. Mm. We had you know, a very strong sense of security around us all the time. But October 7th changed the way Israelis look at the world. Actually, changed the way they look at their own national security.
Really?
Yeah.
Amazing. Jim, how are the Jewish people doing, at least the ones that you were able to interact with?
Sure.
What is their average day? Is there an average day anymore? Or are they on constant high alert, given how small the country is and who it's surrounded by and the fact it's wartime in the state of Israel right now?
Yeah. October 7th changed the way Israelis look at their day to day lives. As a people, the Jewish people are a strong, resilient people. I came away from that trip just in admiration of everything that they stand for, being the only democracy in the Middle East. But their day-to-day life has changed. So tourism, as you can imagine, the holy sites and the cultural sites, the archaeological sites are just an amazing way in which the people of the world come and view Israel for whatever faith you're coming from. You want to go to Israel. And when I went to the Holy Sepulchre the second day I was there, I was in and out in 10 minutes. I could have lingered all day. Mm. There was no line. There's 100,000 Israelis approximately displaced after the October 7th attack. So they pull people back from the northern border near Lebanon, south by Gaza. Those are the people that are forced to live in the hotels right now.
Right.
So there's a heightened sense of security. And there's always been a sense of survival by the Jewish people, a sense of self-determination as they founded their country in 48. You would always see reservists walking in Jerusalem or walking through Tel Aviv with their weapon in their uniform. That is exponentially increased now. And think about it, the rockets that they fire out of Gaza or would fire out of Lebanon, you know, sometimes the closer you are, 2, 3, 4, 5 miles, you may have a 15-second warning. You get farther out, you may have a 1-minute warning, up to maybe a 5 to 10-minute warning the farther away you get with the different types of rockets that both Hezbollah and Hamas are shooting.
Amazing.
Mm. Speaking with Jim Gwinner, partner at LS2 Group, Governor Fair's firm, and he's talking about his latest recent trip to Israel. This is your first trip, correct?
This is my first trip to Israel.
Yeah. Jim, we came in with that clip of the news that a date has finally been set for Netanyahu to address Congress. There's a lot of controversy there, of course. The Democrats, even Jewish Democrats, seem to absolutely hate Netanyahu. We've heard reports that the people of Israel, they are angry of Netanyahu because of the security lapse of October 7th. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to the war cabinet and Netanyahu, the people of Israel are behind the war cabinet and Netanyahu. Did you sense that while you were over there?
I did. You know, the thing I sensed from every Israeli that I encountered was there is a single determination to defeat terrorists in their country and a desire to live in peace and watch their children grow up in peace. There are as many people, there's 7 million people in Israel. There's probably that many different opinions about Netanyahu, whether it's domestic affairs or how he handled things leading up to October 7th. But that dissatisfaction goes to the military intelligence, that goes to the military. I mean, that dissatisfaction is not single-handedly aimed at Netanyahu. That is a very broad sense of dissatisfaction from all parts, from conservatives and liberals, from both sides of the coalition and the opposition government. But to a person, there's a desire to live in peace and there's a desire to win the war.
Mm-hmm. Jim, how are you received as an American and what's the thoughts about the United States? Are people aware of this nuance we're experiencing now with the Biden administration seeming to, you know, the Biden administration is trying to have it both ways, it seems, over here. Mm-hmm. But, you know, do they care who's in the White House, or are they just like, hey, you guys have always been with us. We don't care what your problems are at home. Please, internationally, just stand with us. I mean, what's the feeling right now amongst the Israelis as to us here in America?
Yeah, as a nation, America, not Biden yet, but the Israelis value the U.S.-Israeli relationship as one of the most important relationships they have, is key to their survival, is key to their economy. There is a lot of interchange of intellectual property and ideas that go between U.S. companies and Israeli companies in the high-tech industry, in the defense industry, the Iron Dome, for example, the type of technology that they're developing and utilizing to protect themselves. But when they look at the current administration and President Biden, they do see political pandering. They do see him trying to do what's best for his reelection. Most of the comments I heard, they can't wait for November because in their minds, regardless of who wins, the relationship gets better. But right now he's pandering, whereas they saw in the Trump administration, they saw a steadfast ally.
They just need certainty at this point.
They're looking for certainty and they're looking for American politics to stay out of their national security.
Interesting.
Yeah. You know, Jim, Israel is a democracy. They have an open press. We hear from Arabic news sources about the humanitarian situation of the Palestinians. What have you seen? What is Israel broadcasting about that situation? How bad is it? I mean, is it Ethiopia, we are the world again in the territories? Just how bad is it?
Yeah, no, we obviously didn't get down into Gaza and didn't have any firsthand. I mean, I'm seeing the same news reports that you are. What I am seeing is in many cases when they're identifying tunnels and they're identifying access points into those tunnels, they're very, very closely located to UNRWA facilities. The Hamas terrorists are co-opting houses, schools, public facilities. They've had 20 years since the Second Intifada to build that tunnel system. And when I went over there, I was expecting to see, you know, the sands of Iwo Jima or a Vietnam movie about the tunnels that we all had kind of have in our minds about, you know, military tunnels. Their tunnel system has been built for 20 years. It's concrete reinforced. There's blast doors. They can drive vehicles through some parts.
Wow.
And it's as extensively in length as the New York subway system.
Amazing.
And that's just Gaza. That's not talking about northern Israel near Lebanon with the Hezbollah terrorists.
So, Jim, to follow up on that point, did you see any signs of war, whether flying in or out or at nighttime, any rockets, red glare? I mean, given, again, how small Israel is, you know, relatively speaking, in the United States of America, and the fact that it's surrounded by people that's always trying to do it harm, and Gaza's literally right next door, were you aware that you were right next door to a war zone?
Yeah, I was aware, and the trip before mine was delayed coming back because that was when the Iranian rocket barrage and drone attacks came, and they had to go to the safe rooms in the hotels, and they had to get a commercial flight from Tel Aviv to Athens and catch a charter flight to Athens, and then they came back commercial. I didn't see things like that. It was fortunately for me a quiet period while I was there, but immediately I came back. That was also the week after the Iranian president's helicopter crash, so you didn't know what to expect.
Okay.
We did go down, as I mentioned, about 2 miles from Gaza. We went to the Nova Massacre site.
Oh, wow.
We went to a town called Sderot that was attacked by terrorists on October 7th. Leaving, I forget which one of those two places, we could hear Israeli artillery firing off in the distance. Didn't see it, but I spent 9 years in the Army. I know what a 155 howitzer sounds like.
Interesting. Fascinating. Yep.
We are speaking with Jim Gwinner, a partner at LS2 Group, a government affairs firm. You're hearing about Jim's trip recently to Israel. Jim, what exactly was the purpose of this trip? Was it to give Americans and others around the world a true view of what's going on over there instead of the propaganda from our left-wing media and other media around the world that is portraying Israel as the aggressor, as the evil nation here?
Yeah, it was. So the AIEF trips, they bring I went with conservative leaders. They've taken center left folks on separate trips. In fact, we actually merged up with a group at one point to do a strategic defense exercise.
OK,
they're a nonpartisan organization and their goal is to let me make my own impressions. Okay. And we met with members of the Israeli intelligence community and the military. We met with both the coalition and the opposition, so majority-minority parties of the Knesset, hearing from them. We met with a Palestinian. We met with the Druze community. We met with just a wide variety of folks throughout the week so that we could come away with our own impressions of what is going on in Israel without any sort of media bias.
Jim, are there pictures somewhere lingering on the internet of you on a camel?
No.
Okay.
No. And there won't be one of me sitting with you guys out in the sun at Johnny's either for 2 hours.
Jim, before we let you go, tell us, tell our audience a little bit more about AIPAC, about the American Israel Education Foundation, and how important those groups are to Israel, to the state of Israel, and to the Jewish people.
Sure. So I've been lucky to be engaged, obviously as a volunteer and going to their events, and educating myself with AIPAC events. AIEF is the foundation arm that organizes the trips to go overseas to Israel. So when people think of the U.S.-Israel relationship in the United States, primarily they'll see the AIPAC arm. Mm-hmm. That is the group that will have the reception down in Jefferson City once a year, or they'll have events in D.C. where folks like myself and hopefully you guys weigh in on the importance of the U.S.-Israel relationship. So, you know, it's an organization that I've had the fortune of knowing. They've been around for decades. We had fantastic staff that took us, Andrew Ashford and Yoni Leviton. Andrew's down in Houston with AIPAC. Yoni's over in Israel, and Shane Lesko up in Chicago, are the staffers that I've interfaced with most closely, over the years. But I do want to point out, when we were in the West Bank, so we went to an Israeli, Jewish town in the West Bank, unsolicited, the aunt of one of the hostages. So there's still 120 hostages in Gaza right now. Still 120, including six Americans. And the woman, the young lady's name, she's 19 years old. And this is probably the thing that hit me more than anything of the of the trip. I mean, yes, the holy sites were beautiful. And yes, I love my tattoo and the cultural things. But, you know, I've got a 20-year-old daughter. And this is a music festival. And this is something that my kids would be at if they were Israelis, or they would be going to Enterprise Center to see whoever plays at Enterprise Center, because I usually have to go out to Family Arena to see Judas Priest. But so the young lady's name is Agam Berger. She was kidnapped on October 7th at the Nova Music Festival. She has been held for about 240 plus days now. 19 years old. She's a violinist. You know, her family and everybody, they just want her to come home. And the easiest way for this war to end is for the terrorists to lay down their arms and release the hostages and stop expecting Israel to make concessions on the security and prosperity of their future.
Jim, in our closing minutes here, we forgot to talk about your tattoo. I want you to address that. And I can't let you go without talking about the real talent in the Gwinner family, your wife, Angie Fox, who is a best-selling author. Yeah. I want you to plug her and her book there, and then talk about your tattoo, if you don't mind.
All right. Well, let me talk about my tattoo first.
Okay. yeah, we'll end on a high note.
Yeah, we're gonna end on a high note, because there is a 28th generation tattooist family.
28 generations.
In the old city of Jerusalem. They've been there since the 1300s.
Holy smokes.
So in the 1300s, a Coptic Christian family from Egypt moved to Jerusalem. They opened a tattoo parlor. The 28th generation is here. I have a stamp on my inside of my right leg, on my ankle, of the Jerusalem cross. It's the cross with the four crosses on either corner. And then it should say Jerusalem, but the stamp in which they transfer, like the outline of it, is broken, kind of like most human beings. So the tattoo artist asked me, he's like, hey, do you want me to, you know, make it perfect? I'm like, why start now? I'm not, you know.
Yeah,
and it was kind of cool, because my my brother-in-law and his family went to Israel last summer before the attacks, obviously. And I was actually able to get the same tattoo artist that my brother-in-law and my niece had when they were over there. So it's something very personal. You know, it's a great family. It means a lot to me as a Catholic. So it's just something that I'm really excited to get. And it's only my second one and probably my last.
28 generations. That's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, the stamp that he used to put it on my ankle was 500 years old.
Wow.
That amazing. was just amazing.
Okay, enough about you. Now tell us about your wife's book.
So she, you know, New York Times best-selling author. She's been writing books for oh gosh, let's see. I'd have to do the math, but it was around 2007 she started writing books. She writes a series of what they call cozy mysteries. So thank Agatha Christie with a ghost.
Okay.
And that's what she does. That's her day job.
That's really fantastic.
Yeah, that's her talent, not her day job. Yeah. She's much more talented than I am.
And my wife is a avid reader of the book. She loves the mysteries. And so had to give Angie, they haven't seen her in a while, and hope she is is doing well.
She's working on a book.
She's working on a book. Good. That is Jim Gwinner, partner at LS2 Group and the government affairs firm, of course. And he's been telling us about his trip to Israel. Thank you so much, Jim, for coming in to our new studios. What do you think?
I love it, man. I don't have to drive down to the city.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Don't make this the last time. When we come back, we'll have Chris's Corner. We'll give a little updates on political news and Trump. You're listening to the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show on 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL, number one for live and local conservative talk.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Revenge does take time, I will say that.
It does.
And sometimes revenge can be justified, Phil. I have to be honest. You know, sometimes it can.
But is the country better or worse for them going after you?
I think the country is really worse for what they've done. And I think you see that when you look at the poll numbers. When you see that almost $400 million has poured in since this horrible decision was made. That was a few days ago. Numbers that nobody's ever heard of in politics before.
4:52 on the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show. That is former President Donald Trump talking to Dr. Phil.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Phil, the noted psychologist. I guess he was analyzing Donald Trump there. Well, Donald Trump is using every opportunity, every media outlet he can to get his message out. The president talked about revenge. And Tim, you and me and those of us that are involved in the sometimes bare-knuckle game of politics understand that people have long memories, mm-hmm. and people do seek revenge. I think Donald Trump had that happen to him when John McCain did the thumbs up sign on the Senate floor when allowing Obamacare to continue. So I understand the president's sentiment. Probably my only criticism would be don't say it so much aloud. Mm-hmm. Be quiet about it and be stealthy. And then when you get back in power, let your revenge happen. In this case, people may be looking for it and maybe make it a little harder to get. So I would admonish the president, don't speak so much about getting revenge. Just do it when you have that opportunity.
Well, and look which party, though, Chris, went after their political opponents and which didn't. Yes, it was a mantra, lock her up during the campaign. But when Donald Trump got elected president and they had the opportunity to go after Hillary Clinton, he declined to do so. He said, you know what? We got to move on. And guess who did go after their political opponents? The Biden administration. Exactly. They're the ones going after pro-life, pro-life moms and dads. They're the ones going after parents standing up at board room. They're the ones going after Catholics and Christians. It's the Democratic Party that has weaponized the justice system.
Exactly. Before we get to Chris's Corner, 507, we'll have the speaker's stump speech. Tim, that it will be today.
We'll talk about the layers of reversible error in the Trump trial.
And at 524, we'll speak with Samuel D. Green. He's the president and general counsel at Reason for Life. We'll talk today about the second anniversary of the Dobbs decision. And where does the pro-life movement head now? That's at 5:24. But at 4:54, let's do Chris's Corner.
Chris.
And if you don't know, now you know.
And now, Chris's Corner.
As we all know, President Biden is in Europe to celebrate the 80th anniversary of D-Day. Just a side note. Wow. The First Lady is doing some serious traveling. We know this week that Hunter Biden has been on trial for a gun charge in Delaware, and the First Lady has been in the courtroom every single day of the trial. She left on Wednesday to head to France with the president to celebrate this momentous occasion. But the trial ended yesterday, and Joe Biden has flown back to the United States to be with Hunter Biden in the closing moments of the prosecuting presenting their case. And after that, she is flying back to him. She flew back to France once again to be by the side of her husband. First of all, I give her all kudos for jet lag. My God, that's a lot of traveling. But Tim, are the Democrats who want to tell us all about global warming and global footprint, carbon footprint and all that? Can you imagine what the global footprint is for Air Force One to fly from France to Delaware to France, France, Delaware, and back. I mean, wow, that's what, you know, when it comes to, you know, Hunter there, the 54-year-old young man who's had a drug problem.
Poor guy.
You know, mommy needs to be there. You know, the president is over in Europe celebrating D-Day. And here's a new poll, Tim, that's really amazing. It says only 6% of Western Europeans see the U.S. as, quote, very liable guarantor of European security over the next decade. The survey also from the Eurasia Group found 46% of adults in the U.K., Germany, and France view the U.S. as somewhat reliable in its security commitments. Wonder why they feel that way. Could it be our abrupt leaving from Afghanistan that left many of our soldiers dead? Is it the way they've strung out the war in Ukraine, not giving them the weapons they need at the beginning to end the war? And now we see what's happening with Israel, where the president is abandoning them due to public perception. I wonder why Europeans feel that the U.S. is not a reliable partner. I couldn't imagine. That is Chris's Corner. He said 507, Speaker Stump Speech 524, Samuel Green, President and General Counsel at Reason for Life. Listening to the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show on 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL's Soros Free Radio.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.